Big names in tech and social media are being questioned in a Senate inquiry into the risks and benefits surrounding AI technology in Australia. It's part of a national effort to examine AI trends, bias and opportunities, including its impact on elections and the environment, to name a few. Katrina Stewart spoke to Ida Somme, a senior lecturer in business information systems at the University of Queensland, who has written extensively on the use of AI in the public sector.
Hi, Ida. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So there's a Senate inquiry into the use of AI technologies in Australia, which Google, Meta, Microsoft, and Amazon are appearing before today. What do you think will be the key questions asked of these tech and social media companies?
There's actually lots of questions that come to mind, but basically I think these companies are most importantly, I think they are leading the development of some of the most fascinating on one side and most critical AI models currently. And they have the most used platforms, access to young people, and basically because of that, they have huge influence over our societies. So the questions that raise is from an AI perspective is what is the data these companies are collecting from people? And we know that a lot of the generative AI models, for example, are trained on public data. And there's questions of legal questions, privacy questions, IP, sort of intellectual property questions what is this data is actually being collected and how it is being used, and who has access to it, who is this data, is shared with. There's this sort of notion of work that happens in backrooms of data science, I would say. It's a lot of work that goes into these model building, data collection, data work is basically hidden from many of us. And although there has been movements in terms of transparency and regulations like GDPR, still a lot of this is hidden from us. And with the generative AI and AI, because of the democratization and consumerization of this technology, everybody has access to it. And the ease of use in it, the impact of it is just exponential. There is questions around, which I think it really concerns me, is that more and more there is these huge models that hold huge knowledge that are in the hand of less and less. There's key vendor companies that are owning and creating value from these models that create some sort of a power imbalance in the society. From a society perspective, they can create influence, as I said, over people, undermine democratic processes and so on. But also there is sort of impact on the businesses in that the local competition is basically threatened in a way, because it's very hard for small players to have a role. It's very hard for local Australian businesses to actually compete and play, and they just use this as a service.
Yeah, and you've raised so many interesting concerns there. But before I guess talk to you about some of those concerns you just mentioned there about, I think you sort of alluded to this issue around deepfakes and cloning, which can be a real concern for the public. I just want to ask you first, previous hearings have heard calls for restrictions to be issued for AI tools in fields such as healthcare, media and art. In one instance, an SA Health Commissioner told the committee at the last hearing that some doctors were already using ChatGPT to generate their discharge summaries. So do you think introducing AI restrictions in certain fields in particular, such as healthcare, for example, is a sensible proposal?
I would give a mixed, I would say it is sensible, but it comes with a caveat. I disagree with it at this moment. The reason being that the technology is being progressed and it's moving at such a pace that it's impossible for the guardians of that field, for the visionaries of that field, to actually get hold of what is right and what is wrong and what should be done and what shouldn't be done by these technologies. I certainly am quite excited about technology and technology's impact on what we can achieve and the algorithms that are capable. It is fascinating what we're achieving, but equally concerned about using it out of the place, using it without understanding and evaluating its impact on people, on organizations, so I think that I would say it's not sensible at this point. We just need to be waiting for regulations and for guidelines to appear. And I think the associations are of let's say in medical practice, there needs to be some guidelines created by organizations, by associations of what can be done. We know that the tools that these models are not accurate. We know that. We know that they increase the speed of, creating summaries. But we don't know how the little mistake is going to creep in and influence someone's life. It's easy. It's very easy. The access is just log into this website and now you can use this. But we don't know where that data goes. A lot of the case studies recently I have been doing, they're basically companies are really, really worried when we enter those prompts, what happens to them? And I think the genie is out of the bottle in a way. So these technologies, I don't think there is a way back. They're out there now, they're being used, they're being integrated into services, and it is really about this has always been the case. Technology has moved faster than we can regulate it, we can understand its impact. But I think this is, in this case, we just need to be faster. We need to get ahead of us.
Yeah, and just following on from that and looking at ethical guidelines, there's concern as well that's been raised in previous inquiry, the previous hearings of this inquiry around elections and looking at how there's been issues in elections in the US and Pakistan as some examples that were raised. And there's concern for Australia's election next year, particularly when it comes to the use of deep fakes and cloning. And the public not being able to distinguish whether that is the Prime Minister Anthony Albanese speaking, whether that is the opposition leader Peter Dutton. What kind of measures can be put in place? Because, as you say, this technology is moving at a faster pace than our guidelines are able to, I suppose, keep up with at this stage.
It's a very difficult societal problem. I think that these things are going to come out and they're going to be existing there. And we need the Facebooks and the X's and the Googles to build platform measures. And most of the time, I hear that they're actually, they sacked their ethics team or, they had the experts in this. Responsible use, and they that team was laid off. We need platform measures because these are very scalable interactions, and it's very hard to actually know what's happening and the repost that can happens. We actually need technology to fight technology. That's basically where we are writing, and I know that there's a lot of academic work that goes into actually building algorithms and bots that help detect this kind of content, but for me, the responsible platform owner, like these vendor companies, would be the ones that they actually, when you make a fire, you need to be yourself know how to put that fire out. And in most of the cases, these companies, they take a kind of an ignorant perspective towards problems that come out of their platforms, such as the issue of deep fake or what is being circulated and so on with their platforms. And I think this is just not good enough.
Yeah, and just finally, we've spoken a lot about the challenges that are raised by artificial intelligence, but the inquiry, and just generally speaking, there's a lot of excitement, as you sort of touched on as well, about the potential of AI. So I guess I just wanted to ask, are there real opportunities to harness AI in various industries, whether it's health, education, elections, in an ethical way?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think my own experience is that the technology is extremely powerful, and this is just the start, and it's going to improve and improve. There is one thing that I would like to quote one of the senior researchers in my field. This is Paul Leonardi from one of the universities in California. he studies social media, and he was saying that, you know, we're going to be creating all of this content with Gen AI, and then there is too much content that we need to use Gen AI to summarize it. Where are we actually going with this? So I think this is the point where we need to be really critical about where are we getting to use Gen AI? What are those opportunities? There's heaps of opportunities in any field. Based on, I've been studying analytics, you know, since all of the technologies that were produced from the 1970s, data dashboarding, analytics, predictive modeling, anything that I have studied, they haven't had such profound impact as generative AI. And so easy to use, so democratized, so easy to use. So I think risk and innovation are sort of two sides of the same coin. You innovate, there is innovation and there's these opportunities, but there's risks associated with it. And you can't do one without the other. And most of the time we take the innovation without, you know, managing the risk side of things. Especially like for vendor companies, where for them money making is just by, you know, spreading the diffusion of the technology. So I would say, yeah, enormous opportunities and potential for sort of redefining work, how work is done in all of these professionals, from low level tasks to really senior sort of level sort of work tasks that are conducted in a company, in an industry, all now and have this potential to be transformed and changed because of the generative AI impact.
Well, it sounds like there's plenty to think about in this field, but thank you so much for joining me today, Ida.
Thank you so much.